No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13.9, that the real suffering of a living entity in the material world are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Nature, Prakriti, is so strong. Nature is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna conscious movement all over the world is full of it's the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within the material world in either the upper or lower planetary systems. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation report to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 19th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Adi Yoga Tatsat. There's a saying in Bengali, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke, Mare Krishna, Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, then who can harm you? And if Krishna wants to harm you, then who can protect you? So that verse is primarily talking about that topic. Although parents may be loving and doctors may be anywhere, and medicine may be, the people should face looking at me and he should face looking at death. The idea was that they could see me. Prabhu was just visiting here from Malaysia 2 days ago. He mentioned how one of his relatives was on a flight to Patna that was still dated, it crashed. And almost everybody on the flight was killed, but 6 people survived. And his relative was one of the people that survived. He has a few broken bones. But it's like that, somebody's karma is such that they're trying to go, so then it's arranged like that. Recently today is the Amavasya, although according to some it's already over at 7:30, but sunrise started at Amavasya. And either yesterday or today there's a solar eclipse, but we don't see it here. We see it, it's being seen in Northern Europe. But one astrologer was saying that this solar eclipse, lunar eclipse so close to each other, this 1 month is the 3 eclipses. So next to the solar eclipse it affects travel, so we don't travel. Maybe very dangerous this period. So normally that would be one of the hardest things to tell me to do, but I had other service, I didn't travel. So we see almost every day there's a plane crash. There was a Concorde in France, there was another one in Canada. The one in France, never has Concorde ever crashed. So people go on the Concorde, they feel like they're going on the Titanic or something, they never crash. So they all were given complimentary tickets, the Germans, to go to some cruise ship in America, and they are paying a fortune for this cruise. But then no sooner does the plane take off, then it crashes into a hotel. All the people on board are finished. And in the hotel, 4 people also were killed. So in this regard, many years ago there was a plane crash where one Pan Am, I think it was Pan Am flight, crashed in New York, and the whole plane broke into 2 pieces, and 8 people were thrown from the plane, including a stewardess and some workers and some passengers, and they landed on their feet and walked away unharmed, and everybody else on the plane was destroyed. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that somehow all the people with the right karma were together. This is how I wasn't there. Someone said, he commented like that. Somehow people with the right karma, they get together, so it's a night for them to go. Then the question came, well, why these people? They didn't fit within that. So they were spared. So like that, in this material world, we make so many plans. And of course, we have to take the remedial measures. We have to do things like go to doctors, even problems that go to a doctor. But ultimately, the point is that why would we take medicine? We say, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, because there's no guarantee that medicine will work if Krishna doesn't bless it. If Krishna doesn't empower the doctor, then he cannot make a guaranteed saving of any patient. Here in Calcutta, there was the famous movie star, Uttam Kumar. When he was dying, he grabbed his doctor's hand and he cried and said, "Amake bachao, amake bachao. Save me, I don't want to die." And then holding on his back the doctor's hand, he died. So then the newspaper people asked him, "What is it? How does it feel, doctor? So your patient is grabbing your hand, begging you to save him, and you couldn't save him. Don't you feel bad?" And he said, "Well, not so much." He said, "You see, many times he said the same thing. Many times I saved him. I only failed this one time." So every doctor is only allowed one total failure per patient in the same life. When I was operated on in Spain, the doctor said the reverse thing. They say normally nobody can survive the injury you had. Everyone knows what a jugular vein means, you're dead in half an hour. Somehow, then the knife came within 1 millimeter of your carotid artery. And if you cut that, even in the hospital, if you cut it, you can't save anybody. That's the main vein from the heart to the brain. And it's too high pressure, you can't even stop the bleeding. 1 millimeter. So you say, "You must be a pretty lucky guy." So that way, we need to learn to always depend on Krishna. We may do anything remedial, we may go to the doctor, we may go to the lawyer, we may go to any. Ultimately, we depend on Krishna. Prahlad is the perfect person to be saying this because he totally depended on Krishna, all the time. Because of that, Krishna totally protected him. Draupadi was half dependent on Krishna and half she was holding her sari. Then she just realized that I don't have the power to fight against this Maharati. So she lifted both her hands and then Krishna, seeing she was completely surrendered to him, he reciprocated with her and he became her sari. So no matter, since Krishna is unlimited, no matter how much Kusantara pulled the sari, big pile of blood came, but there was no end to it. So then he gave up. Now, this way, devotee, someone else told me also just recently, our Surapati, he was coming in a train from Delhi to Calcutta, and there was one other sadhu with him, not an Iskand sadhu, but some. They were sitting together, and in that train, Dakite attack, they robbed everybody in that train car. So they just looked at Surapati and Sadhu, and they didn't say anything. Huh? No, but Radha Jivan was in another car. He wasn't in that car. He was in first class AC, and Radha Jivan was in second class. He was questioning why Radha Jivan didn't keep his valuables with him, because first class AC means everyone's got private coupe, you can lock it, it's much more secure. But they usually rob the second class, because it's all open, and somehow even the people in second class, they all look very much. he was somehow spared by Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada also said that in the riot, in the beginning of the century, somehow only the devotees were spared. Of course, we shouldn't take unnecessary risks. We should do whatever we have to do for the pleasure of Krishna. But it's very important to understand the proper consciousness that we need to have. Sometimes devotees get so fearful that they give up their devotional service. Even when there is no reason, they still get paranoid. That's why Krishna here is declaring that my devotee will not perish. There's no, we shouldn't give up our devotional service, even if there is a dangerous time. We should go on with our devotional service. Somebody may be very expert at taking care of his body or protecting himself, but it doesn't give any assured protection. I mean, Bruce Lee was one of the most famous martial artists in the world. He died at the age of 32. Suddenly he died. So he can't protect himself from death. He could protect and he could fight hundreds of ninja warriors and everything in the film, but when it came to death, he couldn't protect himself. So birth and old age, you see, even if we want to, we cannot protect. Someone may go through all of the emotions. If they're meant to go, there's nothing you can do to protect. So we go through the emotions, we do that. But we have to learn always to depend on Krishna. So that whenever it is our time to go, we can also remember Krishna. Even the devotee has to go. If the devotee never perishes, doesn't mean he never dies. We must leave the body, usually. Few exceptions are there. But when we leave the body, if we remember Krishna, we go back to Krishna. So the devotee doesn't perish, Krishna promises he comes back to me. And we're free from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. And today the Radha-Madhav and the Ashta-Sakis are wearing a peacock-colored dress. Peacock feather color. It's a very beautiful outfit. Today I told some devotees about my visit to the temple of Krishna, Mayuri, that's what they call their, in Hindi what they call it, Morni temple. You heard that? In Vrindavan, in a place called Varsana. In the behind Radharani's temple, in the village of Chitsoli, which is Chitra Devi's village, there's a temple of more mourning. So one day, Radharani and all the sakis were watching a peacock dance, and then Krishna was saying, "Why every day you're watching me? Why today you're watching the peacock?" So, well, the peacock is dancing so nicely, you're not dancing. So then Krishna went and danced with the peacock, and just like the peacock is dancing, he also danced. So he said, "How was that?" to Radharani. And Radharani said, "Very nice, but I still think the peacock was better." So then Krishna went and he danced even more beautifully. And then he came back and he said, "How was that?" And Radharani said, "Well, that was better. But I still think the peacock was better than you." So then, Krishna went, and he really super danced. He danced outdanced the peacock. He danced so beautifully that Radharani was inspired. And she got up, and with a male peacock, they danced. The peahen also danced. So she took the part of the peahen and danced with Krishna. So they were both dancing like a peacock and a peahen. And all of the devotees were totally ecstatic. Bhagavan Ki Krishna Ki. So that lila is known in Hindi as Mor Morni. They call Mayur Mor and Mayuri Morni. So there was 400 years ago, there was a blind devotee, and he so much liked meditating on Krishna doing this dance that he had a realization. He could see the lila in his mind's eye, although he was blind. So he asked for a canvas and he painted. He was completely blind. He painted the lila. What he could see in his mind's eye, he put it on the canvas. And that picture is still there, worship in the temple. And it's a very detailed picture of Radha and Krishna dancing in a very beautiful way. We don't let anybody take photos of that picture. If you want to see it, you have to go through. But it's a very beautiful picture. So I was somehow today when I saw Radharani and Madhava wearing their peacock outfit, and I was reminded of that pastime of one morning. I thought I would share it with the devotee here before. Even with the devotee heard it, it's so beautiful. Pastime. Really no words to express. Now, Ganges made her first entrance into our little area here, although she's gone down. We don't know what her lilas will be this year, but usually this was a micro flood. Don't know what happened. But I told last year, when there's flood, I usually tell some glories of the Ganges. You know, Ganga Mata, she's very dear to Lord Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya took his sannyas, he went straight to the west. Now a lot of people are doing this bungalow puja, where they worship Lord Shiva. So there's a famous temple near Bolpur. What's the name of that temple? Shiva temple? Narakeshwara is in Hooghly. This is in Birbhum. Krishna, because why everybody chants Krishna? Lord Chaitanya said, well, how far are you away from the Ganges? He said, well, it's about 2 hour walk. Because even the breeze coming from the Ganges is so purifying that it makes chanting Hare Krishna easy and spontaneous. So these people are chanting it not because of me, but because of the breeze of the Ganges. Then Lord Chaitanya explained how the Ganges is liquefied Krishna prema. So then Lord Chaitanya, very ecstatic, and he practically almost ran to the Ganges. So Lord Chaitanya knew that he was in total ecstasy. That's the result of Kalman point, that when he asked you, where is Vrindavan? Point the wrong way to the south. So it's not wrong because Prabhupada was also Vrindavan and to the south. So then, Lord Chaitanya got to the Ganges and took his dip, and then he went all the way south until they got to Shantipur. That's when he had those best days. But he was in Shantipur also. We see how Krishna was brought into this material world because Advaita Acharya, he worshipped Shaligram with Ganges water and Tulasi. Krishna is saying, if you don't have, if you cannot worship me in a very glorious way, don't matter, at least, you know, even if you don't have any money or you don't have any expensive things to offer, you can offer me a tulsi leaf. You can offer me also some Ganges water. If you don't have Ganges water, then even offer ordinary water. You can also invoke the Ganges in ordinary water. Sindhu Jalismin Samirin Guru. So in this way, also by one using the Ganges water and Tulasi, Advaita Acharya worship the Shaligram Shila and crying loudly the holy name of Krishna, and in this way he brought Lord Chaitanya into the material world. So this Ganges has got many pastimes with Lord Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya. Especially she was feeling desired. The Krishna gave so much mercy to the Jamuna, and she wanted to get the mercy, so in Gaurlila, Lord Chaitanya every day was bathed in the Ganges. You can imagine how much separation she was feeling when Lord Chaitanya left to Lila Chol. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is Apurva Lila. He's always here. Therefore, this place is also a very special place, and we worship the Ganges here. This is known as the Gauranga God. And the Padma Purana also mentions how there was the glory of the Ganges with the one pastime. There was a Brahmana, Satya Dharma, I think was his name. He would every day go and bathe in the Ganges, he'd take a bucket with him and take a bucket of raw Ganges water home and sprinkle it on the head of his family member. So one day after finishing his bath, he was taking his bath and offering his prayers to the Ganges. Meanwhile, there was another person born around the family with the name of Kala Kuta. was a very simple man. Although he was born a Brahmin family, he was a politician, and he was used to taking all kinds of bribes, and he was used to doing all kinds of sinful activities. He was breaking most of the, all the regular principles. So he was a very proud and arrogant and sinful man. He was a Brahma Bhavu, not a qualified Brahma. So in that road, it was a hot day in the summer. The bull was lying down in the road resting. And Kalakuta was so arrogant, he was envious on the bull. Why should the bull block the road? Why the passengers have to walk off the road for this lazy bull? I'm going to teach this bull a lesson. He picked up a big stick from the side of the road and started to beat on the bull. Well, the bull got up furious that who is this guy beating on me, and charged Kalakuta and bore him with his horn and threw him up in the air. He gored him right in the heart. He was thrown and he was lying on the ground with his face up and his eyes open, squat dead. So after a little, bull wandered off victorious. But then Satyadharma was walking with his Ganges water bucket, and he sprinkled the Ganges water on the body, seeing, and he said, oh, what a poor thing, some accident, he died. And he sprinkled the water and he walked on. After some 10-15 minutes walking on, he saw all kinds of Yamadutas, subtle entities. Normally they're not visible, but somehow he was able to see them. And he was amazed, what's happened? Because they were injured. Some were bleeding, some had arms cut off, some were carrying a dead body of a Yamaduta, injured body. He said, what happened? What's wrong? He said, what do you mean? It's all because of you. You did this to us. What do you mean? I didn't do anything. What do you mean you didn't do anything? You are the one who caused this to us. What do you mean? What did I do? Look here. You didn't sprinkle water on that dead body back there? Yeah? He was a very sinful man. We had come in a big force. We're going to break him to hell so he could be punished. But no sooner you sprinkled your tying, he was resisting. To leave his body, you were tying the leather ropes around his neck to drag him out. And then you sprinkled the Ganges water on his dead body. And as a result, immediately Vishnu Dutas appeared and caught our rope and said, you cannot take him. And he said, why? What do you mean? Why we can't take him? He's a sinner. He had Ganges water sprinkled on his body. He is freed from all his sins. Oh, come on, he had ladies do widows do abortions. He had killed his friend and caught the friend's body in little pieces just to get his money. He did so many sinful things. He belongs with us. We got a special rehabilitation program for him. We're going to burn him and turn him, and we're going to really give him the good lesson for all of his sinful acts. So maybe whatever you said is all right. He may have done so many sins, but simply by touching the water of the Ganges, he's free from all those sins. Now we're taking him back to Vishnu Loka. But our leaders, they were very angry, said, no, this is too much, you know. Just a little water and all your sins are forgiven. We're taking it, whether you like it or not. And they went to forcibly take the body, the subtle body. But the Yama Vishnu Dutta said, you cannot take him. You are being very offensive. You are offending the Supreme Lord and you are offending His pure devotees against you, because Ganga is so pure. By your not accepting her purifying quality, you are offending her. So then, they drew a hot coal. Maybe I think they drew hot coals on the Vishnu Dutas. The Vishnu Dutas held up their naces, their gadas. And simply by holding up, it created a shield, a subtle, invisible shield that bounced back all of the hot coals burning on the Yamaduta. They threw weapons at the Vishnudutas. Again, they held up their gada and then created the shield. Again, they bounced back the weapons. So then, they took out their swords and trishuras, tridents, and they went and attacked the Vishnudutas hand to hand. So when the Vishnudutas, up to this point, they were just defending. But when they are being personally attacked like this, they said, "You people are so much offensive to the Ganga, and now you're personally attacking us. We have no choice but to take action against you." Chakra! They called for the Sudarshan Chakra. Immediately, I don't know if that's their expansion of their Sudar, of the original Sudarshan, but Sudarshan Chakra has appeared, and they released them on the Yamadutas who were attacking them. Whoever was attacking, shoot, arm was cut off. Limbs were being cut, cutting like anything, chop chop. So the Yamadutas got kicked out and started running away. Then the head Yamaduta of that group, he was huge in size and very powerful. He had a nickname, the Crusher. He could crush anybody. He came forward with his mace, and with all his might, he gave a massive blow to the chest of the Vishnudutta. The lead Vishnudutta was known as Sankalpa, and he came forward to face him, smashed him on the chest. It would have smashed a mountaintop if it was so powerful. And the Vishnudutta moved a little bit. That's all you can do. Then he took his name, and very lightly he just tapped him on the chest. And that one tap was so severe that the crusher gave him such a shock that blood started to come from his mouth, his ears, his nose, his eyes, and all the pores of his body. He was like, and he fell down on the battlefield there. So then, after that, they took away the crusher and all the wounded Yamadutas, and they're headed back. And that's when the Siddhartha, they told him, "You see, because of you, why you had to just give your Ganges water on that body? To let us take him in peace, you would have been burning him now in hell instead of looking for all injured." Anyway, Satyadharma, he looked at his bucket of water. And then he realized, wow, how powerful the Ganges water is. And now you know why you should always keep a little bottle with you in case any relative or anybody is dying, you know, drink a little water. And he went back to the Ganges and paid 108 times obeisances, and he composed 100 verses glorifying the Ganges. And he was tears in his eyes, he was praying, like, I just take you very casually, I just take you for granted. But I realize that now you're so merciful and so powerful. She's like he's praying and offering all these prayers. So he's leading the Ganges, and she came out on her crocodile mount. Bahan. She has just like Krishna Bahan is Garuda. Actually, Krishna Bahan before, when he used to be Bhakta Kandor. Right? So Kandor is a big bird. So I thought since he already had a bird name, he'd keep him in the so Krishna Bahan, who is Garuda. But every Deva Devi has got her own mount, her own Bahan. So Ganges has a Gangetic crocodile, a massive Gangetic crocodile is her mount. There used to be regularly crocodiles here, but we don't see them anymore, and that's okay. You don't mind. See them in the zoo or in the swamp, and you can see them still in the Sundar Mukhan. Or see if we can see the crocodile carrying Ganga Devi, that's also okay. So you can see the Ganga Devi, she's the color of moonlight. She was wearing white garments, carrying a lotus and a quant, if I remember correctly. And then offered him blessing, one blessing you want, and please with your mercy. She said, I can want two things. One is that I can eternally serve Krishna and never be separated from his service. And the second is when I die, I want to be able to touch your water. So she gave the blessing, Katashtaha, so be it. She went back into the her water. So Ganga Devi, very merciful. Actually, it says by passing school at the time of the Ganges, one gets a very never counterproductive, where if we go our days and carefully the Ganges and offer our prayers so we can get all kinds of mercy. So of course here we're in a flood, we don't have any. We hope that there's no more flood this year. Krishna so pleases, but since she came in, Prabhupada said that if he wanted to have a role to the Ganges, then he would every day go and bathe. So we hope that in the Savani, in the near future, we can have a role, at least that we can take to the Prabhupada an important day, not every day, to take a bath in the Ganges. You see, sometimes the Ganges, so many devotees don't bathe in the water. She wants to get the dust and the lotus feet of the deity. So sometimes she's flooding and touching the lotus feet of Narasimhadev. So maybe sometimes they have to take the Srila Prabhupada or the deity to bathe, so that way she doesn't have to flood to get the dust from the lotus feet. It's quite amazing how even in big floods, so few people die. Somehow, with Krishna's mercy, you think how fragile human life is. I mean, human life is really fragile. this bio-recognition of Brahman, which we call the human body, it doesn't take anything very much to destroy it. It's a fragile machinery. The fact that we're able to survive it all through childhood and through writing the Kalpana and through so many different things itself is a testimony of Krishna's mercy. We should always keep our mind fixed on Krishna, remembering how fragile the human body is. Try to make the most of this human form of life to fully develop our Krishna consciousness. Here in Mayapur, we're very fortunate. We're able to live on the side of the Ganges. We're able to worship Radha Mahal the Panchatattva. We're here in the holy Dhamma of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're carrying out the orders of His Divine Grace, Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He wanted us to maintain Mayapur and expand it. We're fulfilling the desires of our previous Acharya, who also wanted us to glorify Mayapur. We're very fortunate, actually, to be here. You can see that some people, because of offenses or because of acting informally, somehow they're not able to remain in Mayapur. So we need also to be very careful not to commit offenses to the Dham, to the devotee, to the Ganji, as far as possible. All the Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, but if he doesn't tolerate offenses to his devotee, that's one thing he gets upset about. So we need to be very careful to not offend devotees, to do things in the proper way. And this is where we can get this unlimited mercy of Mayapur over this time, and also have love for Krishna in this lifetime. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.